see it. Yeah, that's right, folks. It's time for Disney's Halloween Treat with your favorite hosts. Me, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Casey.
Welcome to a thrilling episode of
Disney Channel Surfers.
That's right, where we ride the waves of nostalgia, revisiting some of our favorite Disney classics from our individual youths, our collective youths. Hey, you're part of this too. And today we are reliving this classic.
I love it.
Yeah,
that's so great.
Yeah, that's the theme from today's subject for our review. What did we watch, Casey?
Disney's Halloween Treat.
Yeah, that's they only right. said it a few times.
Just a couple. It was hard to catch it.
But yeah, so this is a deep cut.
This is a deep cut.
A deep
cut.
Oh my gosh. That is not on Disney Plus though.
Right, such a bummer.
Not a Disney Plus deep cut, but a deep cut nonetheless. In fact, I can tell you what year it came out.
Yeah, it's gotta be a while.
Let's see here, 1982.
Yep, that feels about right.
Was when they finally got around to it. And that's, so here's the thing, it's got a complicated history, folks, because... Alright, if you've been following along, I did give you all a link to a YouTube video of the Disney Halloween Treat. It's not the best quality. It's got a little shaky cam going on from time to time. And like when they finally get around to Lonesome Ghosts, like you can't see the fucking ghosts.
Yeah, that was an insane thing to watch.
Something wrong here.
Yeah, you're not wrong, Goofy.
But I'm sorry about that. But the thing is, like, I just wanted to give you guys, like, that's the copy that, like, that's the version of Disney's Halloween Treat that me and Casey grew up with for sure. Like, I watched that and I was like, oh, this is it. Come to find out, there's like a few different versions of this thing. Because there was Disney's Halloween Treat, which was just like 45, 47 minutes. And then there was a whole other segment that premiered on the Disneyland show or the Wonderful World of Disney or whatever it was at the time. And that was called Disney's Tribute to Villains or something like that. And they tacked that on and they just kind of blurred the line and like edited and cut and paste.
Right.
And created this hour and a half long special. So individually, those are both like 45 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
But if you want... there are, you know, you have to do a little, you gotta do a little work yourself. Like we're on this show, we don't hold your hand completely. So there are versions where it's like one of five or one of seven episodes on YouTube. And those are a little better quality. It's just, I don't like doing that because it's a pain in the ass. It's like, oh,
right, you have to go find it.
10 different parts. Like Jesus, it interrupts the momentum. So if I can, I like to find two-parters are okay.
Yeah, sure.
But I like to try to find them in one steady video. There was a one on Daily Motion that had part one, but not part two. And then I hate that when that happens.
Me too.
But yeah, so this, because we're in the spooky season, like, it just felt right, you know?
So much nostalgia.
And this, along with the, we'll get around to it when Christmas comes around, but this and then the From All of Us to All of You, A Very Merry Christmas, like, those were kind of the, like, every year we'd watch those specials, right?
Right.
Like, Halloween, it's this, and Christmas, it was like, those were staples.
Right.
So, yeah, let's dive into it. Like, the funny thing about this special is that it's composed of just clips from different things, really.
Right.
Yeah. And a few full-length cartoons, even.
Yeah, so great.
So, all right, we open right up with... And another reason why I liked this YouTube version was it has the wonderful World of Disney opening, which, with Michael Eisner and stuff.
Oh my god, this opening was gold.
Yeah.
It was pure gold.
Like, this is what you would see. Like, you'd sit down at the TV... Like,
this was just glorious. Like, I just was like, I desperately want to go to Disneyland seeing that. And just like, I felt like I was a little kid again watching that.
Right.
You get
that's what
pumped
you saw.
Up and
excited
exactly. for the cartoon, which is so cool.
Kind of like the HBO opening where, it really kicks in high gear and you even get Roger Rabbit at the end. And I even remember how it ends. Like, I remembered all of that. And I even recognized this special, like... I didn't always see the Michael Eisner intros, but I remembered a couple, and this was one where Goofy shows up. You know, you got Mickey and Minnie. They're all costumed up for Halloween, and Goofy's running late. Goofy finally shows up, and he's wearing a particularly convincing costume, a Michael Eisner costume. And he's like, well, what do you think?
That was hilarious.
You know, Michael Eisner, what do you think of him as a figure? I remember him fondly.
Me too.
There was, like, big war between him and, like, Roy Disney at some point. And,
right.
And Katzenberg or something, which he sucks. He went over to DreamWorks. Or he started
that, like,
Blue Sky with
You know, probably everybody likes the one that they grew up with, right?
Yeah.
It probably feels that way. But I do think that, like, they don't do stuff like this anymore with cartoons and the, you know, and this adds a whole nother level of magic, this opening. Mm. So it's like a super bummer that they're missing out on what I, like, the kids now are missing out on all of it.
Yeah, they don't really have their spokesperson, which
and they don't
is
have,
kinda
like,
better.
The good commercials anymore, you know, no. Like, I don't know, the opening with, even
out.
If Michael Eisner wasn't in the opening, like, the whole opening of the park and the fireworks and the balloons and the Mickey, seeing Mickey and Minnie dressed up, all of that was so cute.
Which kind of reminded me of the Ink and Paint Club, which was a TV special that they would do in the evening.
So cute.
We got that catchy song for Disney's Halloween Treat, and they show, like, the skeletons.
Yes.
From, I don't know. I think it's called The Skeletons or something. It's a silly symphony.
So good.
And then we open with, I always like this. We go right into Night on Bald Mountain. And the cool thing is you have a little narrator, like, guiding you the whole time.
I love it so much.
And so apparently in one version, it's like they show this pumpkin and he talks and he narrates the whole time. Mm. It's a very different voice, though. I like this guy, though, because he almost sounds like the dad from... Scream Team, like when he does that stupid creepy voice that was like his one redeemable moment in that movie. If you haven't already listened, please check back on our last episode, The Scream Team.
His voice reminded me of, like,
Hi Chris,
of the guy from the Haunted Mansion that sort of narrates before, you know, there's always my way. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, it is like a comforting voice.
And I like, he really sets the tone of, it's like, you know, every good Halloween needs, you know, it's Halloween is steeped in pagan mythology. I was like, all right, they got real with it. Like, this kind of went over my head as a kid, but it's like, oh, they do acknowledge the fact that it, like, way to be woke, Disney, sort of, Disney.
Sort of. I loved how much throughout the entirety of, they talked about witches and how they were unfairly hung and,
right.
And cats. I love the cats thing.
The cats thing. We'll get to the cats thing. Night on Bald Mountain, which was always... So how do you feel... So this is good, because this will open up different tangents. So this is why it's cool. Like, this is why it's a trick-or-treat, because you're just going to get little snippets of... So how do you feel about Night on Bald Mountain anyway? Like, I think it fits nicely into Halloween, for sure, because Chernabog is one of the scariest figures...
Agreed.
...in Disney, like, to the point where you're like, how is that a Disney character?
Right, absolutely. I totally agree with you. I love it, though.
Definitely. It's like, so that's a weird thing.
And, like, brings up...
Again, it's part of our generation where we just wanted that.
Yeah, totally.
Just scare us.
The freaking, like,
The pagan demon thingies.
Yeah, the little fire dancing creatures. I fucking love those, man. The coolest part.
Like, it's really, like, it gets deep. And, like, you can't see it in this YouTube video, but I'm pretty sure those women are quite nude. And, like, I remember it showed stuff like that in Fantasia.
Mm-hmm.
And Fantasia, overall, boring, right?
No.
Oh, really? I think Fantasia's boring-ass movie.
It takes Fantasia.
So long to get warmed up, because there's that whole, like, that whole sequence, it's just hills, and, like, it's all obscure and everything. I never really got into that.
The music.
And then when they got to the dinosaurs, though, that's a good segment.
I loved Fantasia. Jacob and I are on different worlds right now.
And then Night on Bald Mountain, which sucked because you had to get through the whole fucking movie.
Whatever.
You had to get the whole movie. And then Night on Bald Mountain is the outstanding, like, animation feature.
So good.
In Fantasia.
So, I agree.
That one, the dinosaur bit, and then the one with the gods. I love that one.
Me too. Yeah. I love Fantasia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The music is fantastic.
Well, I mean, it is about the music. Night on Bald Mountain has some interesting history, actually. Look into it, because the composer, like, it was a pain in the ass for him to even get it recognized. Like, it wasn't heard by human ears, like, in the form that we know it until, like, the 60s, I want to say.
Whoa, bizarre.
Like, way long. Like, it's relatively new when you really break it down. But the guy, it's Russian, totally makes sense. I don't know what that means, but it's like you hear that. It's just, yeah, it was a Russian composer. It's like, oh, yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's dark. It's like, it's... You know.
No, totally.
Russian opera was interesting because, yeah, I went down a whole rabbit hole because this led me to, like, it's like, what else has this guy composed? Not very much. And then it was like he kept trying to sneak out versions of Night on Bald Mountain into other... pieces of opera and, like, music and stuff, and he kept, like, here, and it's like, wait a second, this seems familiar. Is this Night on Bald Mountain again? God damn it, put that away. Like, I don't want it in my opera. He's like, damn it, I know it's good, though.
It is good.
And sure enough, like, yeah, I'm glad we got to hear it, because it's really, really good stuff. Good. Some of the best pieces of music. It's really dark, though.
Really dark.
I'd want to, like, work out to it or something.
That's an interesting idea.
So you start off with that. Next sequence is about having a witch. Every
duel.
Good Halloween needs a witch, and we address a very much overlooked Disney villain, I guess. Mad Madam Mim.
Yeah.
How do you feel? She's of an earlier version of villain, where it was like, she's fun. Like,
she's really fun.
Not intimidating, not scary.
Nope, just silly.
And doesn't play by the rules, which makes her a wild card,
right?
You know, so we get this wizard's duel bit from Sword and Stone, which is I liked growing up.
Me too.
Relatively
I loved
well.
It, yeah.
I just always did feel like I probably would feel about it now, where it's just like it kind of ends weird, right? Like it ends just really abruptly and everything. Mm-hmm. And I do remember even as a kid, like it's so weird. I haven't watched it in so long. It would be interesting to watch, I guess. Which we'll get around to next season when we do commentary tracks.
We could pair that one with the Black Cauldron.
Ooh, that's a good... Well, no, remember, we're doing commentary tracks. That one's not being pitted up against anything. Yeah. But yeah, Sword in the Stone, I always liked it. And even as a kid, I think I did realize that there's, like, three different voices for this kid.
Yeah.
I think what's funny is we're all waking up to that fact, because I've listened to a couple podcasts that have covered it, and they're like, yeah, three different voice actors. It's like, I think I kind of knew that.
Right.
Or like, it translated to me as a kid. I was like, oh, is that a different kid? Like, like, oh, that's not, but it's Ward. But wait, what? Yeah. So this is fun. Like, we get the wizard's duel bit.
Yeah,
it's kind
that
of
was cute.
Weird, kind of random.
The owl narrating the wizard bit. Funny.
The owl? Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, they're going to attempt to destroy one another. It's like, destroy? Like, what? That's really hardcore, man. And I love how the rules are. It's like, okay, no mineral or vegetable, only animal. It's like, you really have to agree to that? Like, mm-hmm. who's going to mm-hmm. go to a duel and be like, and form of?
Celery.
Yeah. You know what? I'd be done. It's like, oh, hell no. You're bringing out the celery.
Yeah, bye.
So it's interesting that that's a rule.
And I like that they, like, partially followed like the old school duel rules where they like took steps away from each other. Yeah, yeah, I was like, this is funny.
Last chance to negotiate. You send in your second, see if they could set the record straight. Okay, that's our Hamilton reference for the day. Oh, we got another one coming. Don't worry. Okay. The old mill. The next sequence is of the old mill. I liked this silly symphony as a kid.
Really did too.
And I think this was the only way I saw it though, and that's why I really liked this part of Disney's Halloween Treat, just because it's like, oh yeah, this is it. Doesn't totally connect to Halloween, but they make it work where
they
it's just
make
like
it a spooky scene.
It's all about the mood. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I guess. All right, sure. Like, I love the frog bit in this.
Oh my gosh, like the frog and the orchestra symphony. Like, yeah. Lovely.
It's a silly symphony. That's what they really like. Here's the thing, like, this was back when Disney was. People watch these more for technical appreciation, almost.
Well, it's like, I don't like to be this person, but I do sort of wish that we had something similar to this now, like where we had orchestra music, like
it actually
making
would.
The sound effects. It would be fascinating
it
with our
force
current...
people to have to be creative again,
and like it would like be really interesting with the current cartoon style too.
Well, the way it is now, it would just offer like I would just. Yeah, I'd go on a Star Search because so many people like can animate their own stuff now, and then it would be all about featuring them, right?
Yeah.
Create a silly symphony for us. Yeah.
So cool.
But it's cool, and then we get an owl who totally breaks the fourth wall. Like.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it was. Because they did really good with their animals, is the thing. Like,
oh my God,
they
so
were
good.
Really good at capturing like natural, like those birds did.
And the frog
the head tilting.
Good, you
the
know?
Frog looked
uh-huh.
good. Fireflies, and then the storm kicks in, and I like how they bring in a choir voices. Like,
oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
To simulate the sound of the wind.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I do love it. I just love it.
And it captured what a storm feels like, honestly, because as a kid, like, storms can get scary, and that's
really
kind of what they feel like.
Little,
it's like, oh,
yeah.
God, it's getting bigger. Like, even now, thunderstorms kind of freak me out.
Not me. I love them.
Things that go bump in the night. he says that, and I'm pretty sure that's where I first heard that phrase. It's like, what does go bump in the night mean? I wonder what the origins of that are, actually.
I don't know.
Look it,
it
up,
just
everybody.
It's like a phrase that you just know.
I'm really impressive. This, let's see here. And then we get a little bit of Mickey and Pluto action. Where they, it's, sometimes your imagination runs wild. And it shows, like, Mickey and Pluto looking through a house, and Mickey's got a big fucking gun, a big old rifle, they're looking for something. I don't know what this was from. I think Mickey and the Parrot or something. He's going through the house, and his shoes are, like, clopping down the stairs behind him and freaking him out, which
that was great.
And this is
also like Mickey walking with a shotgun was alarming.
That's what I'm saying. It's weird because that's gonna kill somebody.
I'm just like, I kept expecting, and this was like a common trope for cartoons this age, because this was a very old cartoon. Yeah. Of Mickey. Like, his face was crazy white.
I was going to say, like, this was the era when his eyes were solid black. Like,
so crazy.
Mickey's changed through the years, because now he's got whites and
he's got,
darks.
Like, the twinkle in his eye now. Yeah, uh-huh. But, yeah, I was, like, I kept expecting him to, like, shoot and then, like, have the gun shooting at, you know? Things That Go Bump in the Night was originated in the 18th century.
Hmm.
In the early 18th century, with meaning a sudden collision.
Okay.
Just
things go
all...
bump in the night. Mickey's got a huge rifle. We smash cut to Donald and his nephews. I mm-hmm. loved this sequence.
Me too. So cute.
This is how your imagination runs wild with you. And there's a radio reporting about a gorilla that's loose.
This bit was so great.
Donald's making fun of his nephews. Like, Donald was, like, it went both ways, actually. But Donald was really mean to his nephews, and his nephews got pretty ruthless with him. They were mean.
It's interesting. Like, Donald must have been a pretty good uncle, though, to have them so often. Yeah,
well, according to DuckTales, like, oh, man, in DuckTales, that's a whole other thing. There's a whole Donald world, or the Duck world, I should say. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a huge expanded universe of its own. So he makes fun of the kids and scares them, and they find a really detailed and, like, realistic-looking gorilla costume, yeah, which job, I guess kids. They just had nearby.
Right.
And this, gorilla is, you know, to be feared, and
it's
but
a murderer,
yeah, right,
to be clear.
Fuck. Why did they have it?
Right.
so they scare Uncle Donald, like, he just wants to chill with his book. I love, like, Donald's needs are always so, like,
once upon a time there was a princess
and boy was she beautiful, and he's reading a book and ingesting a lollipop, like, sure.
Yeah, he like pulled it
that's
out
what
of
I want
shirt.
I want to read a book and
eat a lollipop. I mean, it does sound
it
nice
works. And the kids take his lollipop, and they somehow make the gorilla costume bite down, though, because it leaves behind in his teeth marks, and Donald gets freaked out and runs away. Nephews laugh, and then the real gorilla shows up,
right,
scares the shit out of them. Starts going through the house, and now Donald's confused. It's like, oh, I got... It's them. It's them in a gorilla costume, and he runs into the real thing.
The whole bit of him, like, opening up the mouth and talking into the throat.
Come on!
Silly.
Come on!
Yeah. So silly. I love it.
And then by the end of it, there's... what was it? Tear gas?
Tear gas got him. And it got Donald.
Why do they have tear gas?
You know what I think was so funny, too, is, like, the radio this whole time is like, and by the way, don't forget, this is how you disarm a bear.
Right. Look him dead in the eye. A Breckenridge. Like, I don't know what a Breckenridge is.
Also, just so everyone knows, tear gas works well.
Yeah.
Like, it's just this whole silly thing of the radio interrupting, yeah, just to let Donald know, like, here's what you do next.
Tear gas? Question mark?
That's right.
All right, and then the next sequence. Yeah, we get this bit about cats, I guess, right? Yeah. Or no, sorry. Next is Winnie the Pooh dreaming of Heffalumps and Woozles.
I loved Heffalumps and Woozles very much.
Weird, though. Kind of out of place.
It
again,
definitely,
like,
yeah. I mean, no, it didn't fit. But it's like Pooh.
Although it would be a nightmare, right? Like, I don't know. Like, if I was in a dream with Heffalumps and Woozles.
It just reminded me of the ride, the Winnie the Pooh ride, which I love.
Yes, that's true.
Which you're, like, immersed in, like, Pooh's acid trip.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Pooh took some acid, and then you're there.
Which sometimes.
I'm sure it happened.
Halloween.
But it was, I love that song so much, so I've been singing it all day. And I love the, I mean, I know it doesn't quite fit
Confusal.
The theme. But, yeah, such a good song, such a good little short.
Winnie the Pooh, I actually like that.
I
movie.
Love Pooh.
Next, the cat sequence. Yes.
Yeah, kitties.
Find out about cats.
Cats and witches.
This
is where he kind of talks about how, like, women were, like, unfairly hung.
Right.
Which probably was the first time I ever heard about that.
Right. I know. Yeah, witchcraft and shit. Like, yeah.
We
get Pluto and the... Okay, so Pluto and some cats. I love that there's this cat that's... So we get three different sequences rolled into one. And this was actually really expertly edited, really.
It was done well, yeah.
Because it opens with Puss Cafe, which was one short. And that's got two little stray cats that wander in and start stealing milk and start acting like it's their own personal cafe. And Pluto scares them off. Well, in this, like, they just... show him, like, scaring him off, and I like that the cat is acting like the milk is a bottle of champagne or something, and then he's drinking it, and his other cat buddy is like, dude, he's coming, and he looks over his shoulder and he's like, oh yeah, oh, all right. And continues to drink the milk and finishes it and gives it to his friend and runs off. I just
so
loved
cute.
That detail. I was like, oh yeah, oh, that's a bummer. It's like very kind of a stoner moment in that.
Yeah,
moment.
It was great.
She's like, oh shit, yeah, he is gonna totally fucking kill us, isn't he? And then cut to the catnap Pluto, which is, this is the sequence where Figaro is involved.
Uh-huh.
And that's why they cut from him chasing the cats to him immediately being tired, which is why I was like, whoa, that's kind of abrupt.
It was weird.
It's like, just that chasing and coming back to the front door is really tiring.
Like, for a jarring second, was like, did he just, was that a dream?
Right.
And is that what they were trying to say?
I totally relate to this Pluto sequence. Like, I felt this tired before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Where it's like your eyelids are just heavy as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
And I get a kick out of, like, there's these weird, like, hallucinogenic, like, Pluto figure that comes in every now and then to pour sand in his eyes, which
yeah.
is supposed to represent the Sandman.
Right.
But it's just weird because he's got like a pyramid hat on. Uh-huh. And stuff. It's really weird. And like this weird chimey trippy music comes in. I was like, whoa,
what
trippy.
In the fuck is happening?
So eventually, you know, he tussles with Figaro for a little bit, which mm-hmm. yeah, you know, that's rough. Which Figaro's a little shit, like but at the same time, it seems like he's just, I just want to cuddle, bro.
Yeah, I just want to be a friend.
Like, no. Eventually, Pluto goes to sleep. And then they cut to... And then he travels back in time, like,
yeah.
20, 30 years.
Yeah.
And now he's so much older looking, the older version of mm-hmm. Pluto. Much like we had the older version of Mickey.
Right, totally.
And, like, it's cool because, like, a weird cat is, like, standing at the window. I was like, come on, why don't you come on over here and I'll knock your block off. It's like, yeah. What the fuck?
What is happening?
Was this James Cagney talking cat? Like, what's the matter? Are you yellow? It's like, fuck, people talked like this.
They did.
Yeah, yellow-bellied sap sucker.
I'm super nostalgic for that time, even though I wasn't alive.
Ooh,
not for
a
women.
Rough time for your, yeah.
not for your kind.
Yeah.
But I do like the way people, I like that weird accent.
What's the matter with you?
I think it's nice.
And he chases this cat and ends up at some weird cat head figure, which I remembered this mm-hmm. distinctly with the cat tongue, like, pulling him in. And he ends up in cat court.
This was bizarre.
In hell. These ball and chain snakes show up, which that was a vivid image, like, of these snake-like mm-hmm. ball and chains, like, latching onto you. And then it's supposed to be a court of your peers. These are not Pluto's peers.
No.
These are cats. And I love how they're... this was clearly a silly symphony made by a dog lover.
I actually wrote down, like, oh, okay, Walt Disney Company, they're a dog person, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because cats are portrayed very evilly, like,
very
damn.
Evilly.
Like, it's like public enemy number one. It's like, damn. Like, and they don't hide the fact that it's like, oh, yeah, justice, wink.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get this guy some justice. And then they, like, the jury, like, doesn't even have to deliberate. Like, they go through a revolving door, and they're like, we find him guilty.
Guilty.
G-U-I-L-T-Y.
Yeah.
Guilty. 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 And I remember, I was like, damn, like, how many people have wanted to say that in the face of someone? It's like,
true.
He's fucking guilty, Your Honor. G-U-I-L-T-Y. Guilty. 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 Poor Pluto, though. Like, they start sticking him with pitchforks and shit.
That was crazy.
And again, well edited though, because this cuts back to the other sequence
uh-huh.
of Figaro waking him up and then eventually getting knocked out himself. Getting knocked out himself. Figaro's a boy. Yeah.
Figaro's a boy.
Gets knocked out and they both nap together, which isn't that a cute image.
It's adorable.
Hardly becoming of a Halloween movie.
yeah, why there was all of that, I'm not sure.
Then we get into the touch on witchcraft. They were condemned by the words of the ignorant, idle gossip growing through wild rumors, which kind of sounds like today's world, honestly. Like, yeah. How many people were condemned because of the words of the ignorant? Looking at you. You know who you are. Stop being ignorant.
Hopefully none of our
read a
listeners.
Book. No. And then, so I was wondering, it's like, what is this from? Like, this whole sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from The Truth About Cats, which was featured on the Disneyland TV program, again, from back in the 50s, 60s or something. And then next we get the Siamese, if you please, from Lady and the Tramp, which, yikes, this would get cut out immediately.
Which sucks, because when you're a kid, it's like the best song.
It's so easy to sing, like it's so catchy.
And Siamese cats are so special. I have one. Right. But yeah, it's their accents.
And come to find out, they were voiced by a white woman.
That's what I'm saying.
Lady and the Tramp, controversial. next, we get the magic. Yeah, and then this is where the magic mirror takes over.
Yeah, and we get to see him like.
And they kind of shoehorn this in where it's just like, you know, every good Halloween deserves, you know, the villain. And like,
right.
Magic mirror takes over. And the magic mirror is voiced by Hans Conried. And you may recognize him as the voice of Captain Hook.
Yes.
And as the Grinch slash narrator for the lesser known sequel, or if you want to get real technical, prequel to How the Grinch Stole Christmas animated movie called Halloween is Grinch Night. Look this up. It's totally available on YouTube, and it's perfect for this time of year because it's Halloween. It's not very good, but it's fun. Good. It's well animated because it's by like Tex Avery or you know that group, the same ones who made the How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and he was the voice of the Grinch and narrator for that thing. So this guy's good. I like his voice. I liked him as this live action magic mirror. It's like, you know, I've been hanging around here for some time, and you know, I've learned a thing or two.
I was like, is this like Magic Mirror stand-up comedy? Like, that's how it felt.
Get the picture? And he makes some good points. This was where you learn to appreciate what the villain has to offer. It's like, hey, and like, not to like necessarily condone like a villain's actions, but the role a villain plays in storytelling, really,
it's important.
Yeah, where it's like, hey, you know, the villain is the guy who does his best to give you his worst, gives the hero a chance to be brave. Get what I'm saying? Like, hey, not so bad.
The whole Thanos thing.
Which, and like, honestly, like, there is a whole culture in Disney culture, really. Like, we love the villains, right? Like,
right. We have Maleficent. We have, you know.
There's a whole villain merch line, right? Because, like, there's that whole section in every, like, in all every Disney store. Stores.
Yeah.
Which, as a kid, you know, like, it was always the darker part of the, darker part of the store, which is like, ooh.
Away from there.
So, ironically, and of course, ironically, this whole special about villains starts with Captain Hook.
Right. Who that was great.
Well, I hope this will be So, we get this sequence. It shows Captain Hook and going face-to-face with Peter Pan and everything.
Right.
And we do get to see how much of an asshole Peter Pan is. He's an asshole animated movie.
And you know who
it's
else
part of
him?
Her top five. Listen back on the top five favorite Disney animated episodes. It's on Casey's top five.
It's also on Chris's top five. Hey, Chris.
Hey, we already said hey.
I said it again.
We take back that hey.
He loves Peter Pan just as much as I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof,
controversial. Controversial.
How? No. So. The one...
okay, all I had to do was look.
I mean, I understand, but Tinkerbell, man. Tinkerbell.
Yeah. Tinkerbell's great.
And Peter Pan is great.
So we get Captain Hook, which, of the villain, we'll get into it. Well, I hope this will be, and then they cut to the next sequence. Well, I hope this one will be a little quieter, and boy, is it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Aristocat sequence, showing off Edgar the Butler, which... These are two of the lowest ranking villains. And then you have to realize it's like, oh, at this point in Disney's history, we didn't have a lot of villains to pull from.
We didn't have that many, yeah. Because I was also starting to go, okay.
Yeah. This is who you're pulling from. And then we get this whole sequence really, really distant from... Now we're really losing the Halloween connection.
Yes.
Because it's the whole sequence of when Edgar gets rid of... If you've seen the Aristocats. Uh-huh. When he gets rid of the Aristocats and is driving around. And this is when I learned about these motorcycles with the little sidecar.
Yeah,
I was
me
like,
too.
Ooh, if I had a motorcycle, I'd want that one because it's like having training wheels. It's not going to... You can't fuck up, right? I bet you can.
Yeah, you can.
And then he runs by these dogs, which is this what these dogs do?
They wait to attack.
They just wait to attack different vehicles, I guess. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Like the mailman thing.
And it's these weird voices. It's the Craminitly. It's the guy who's the sheriff in Robin Hood, the animated one, I'm pretty sure. And then his companion, whose name is Lafayette.
Ah, oh, there it is.
There it is.
What a good name.
So, yeah, it is. So then we go from that. And we cut back to Magic Mary. He's like, hey, without the villain, you get boredom. Like, here, try this story, Jack and the Beanstalk. It's all about the villain in that one. So much so that you can interchange anybody, any character with the Jack character. And it works. And even these three gentlemen. And it's from Mickey Mouse and the Beanstalk.
Yes, and I love this
and we
so
get
much.
Donald, Goofy, and Mickey. Yeah, this was great. Very distant from the Halloween
so
theme.
Distant. None of these match the Halloween.
Yeah.
The only two that I found out of all the ones that we go through to have like felt, you know, close are Maleficent
coming up.
And the Wicked Queen.
Yeah, coming up. Yeah, the ones they end with. Yeah, he starts off with the crappy ones.
But like these two, those two specifically, I think would have been great. They would have matched nicely, and I think they wouldn't have deterred at all. But
I do love this. It makes me, see, the thing about this whole thing is this part makes you want to watch some of these movies again.
Like that's true.
The Mickey and the Beanstalk, that's its own thing, but it was also featured in Fun and Fancy Free, so it kind of makes me want to watch that.
Me too.
And the harp. Great song. I did not appreciate her song as a kid because she even like is hinting to him. It's like in his right pocket.
Yeah, I loved her and I still do.
She's got hints of Cinderella. You know, the princesses to come. Mm-hmm. You know, the peas look so good. All this food looks so good that the giant's place has, and the giant is voiced by Sneezy from the Seven Dwarfs.
That's cool.
And then we cut to Ka from Jungle Book. Worst villain ever. Like, do you even... He is a villain. He counts as a villain.
I guess. I just felt like he was a trickster.
Right. And this... okay, and so let's talk about this. So this was before we had really good villains. Who would have to be included? And then they end with Maleficent, her best sequence, where she's just... it's Maleficent at her best, where she's like, hey, Prince Philip, hey, let me just rag on you real quick. So, you're not gonna get out of here. And when you do, by the time you do...
fantastic.
And as the years go by, about 100 years will go by.
She's so good.
She's
evil. So good.
And why is she the villain at the store? Because she didn't get invited to a fucking party.
That's my kind of petty.
Hell okay? Yeah.
I fucking love Maleficent. I think Angelina Jolie
total Scorpio,
it.
Right? Or, you know, well, if you don't want to break it down, Zodiac, I mean, Slytherin, like diehard Slytherin.
Oh, yes.
Crazy.
Love it.
So what villains would you include? Maleficent would stay.
Maleficent would
evil
stay.
Queen
evil
would
Queen
stay.
Would stay. Yes. Like,
Yeah,
let's see.
So who would, so we're trying to replace, let's just say three. So Ka, Captain Hook.
Jafar.
So Jafar, you'd include Jafar. That's a good one. Yeah, I'd show the part where he's like, sadly, the boy's sentence has already been carried out. What sentence? Death.
He's
by
so
beheading.
He's
yeah.
So good.
Jafar, that's a good addition. I'd include Ursula, I mean.
Fuck yes.
and what? Maybe Scar or maybe... Are we missing a good female?
We are,
here?
And I just can't.
We're missing somebody.
Finger on it.
You could almost include Professor Sevalier or something from Princess and the Frog.
Oh, yeah.
He was pretty good. Like, his voodoo sequence would work really well in a Halloween special.
Yeah, because I don't know if Scar really matches, you know?
Yeah, not really, huh? Because it's also animal and distant.
Ooh, Hades.
That works.
Hades.
I was kind of thinking Hades. That works. Nice. So, yeah, we fixed it.
We fixed it.
Maleficent, and then the hero needs help of three old ladies. Yeah, the magic mirror chimes. I love the commentary over, like, these old cartoons. Like
Queen of Hearts.
The hero needs... Oh, yeah, they feature her. Weird connection. The hero needs the help of his three old ladies with magic wands. That's four against one. I love speaking up for the villains. Like, it's great. They do show Cruella de Vil. I'd keep that, actually.
Like, me too. She's one of the most evil. She's very evil.
And Queen of Hearts, I guess you could keep because it's so short. Madame Medusa. They end with Madame Medusa, which, weird pull. Underappreciated villain, though. She's so delightfully camp.
Yeah.
She pulls out a shotgun, starts shooting, and I love that they break the fourth wall with the shotgun bullets, like, actually hitting Magic Mirror. He's like, hang on a second. Like, this is getting out of control. I'm out of here. And then we get our old host back, which is like, well, first sign of trouble, and this guy leaves. Well, let's end with a good old ghost story. And we get Lonesome Ghosts, starring our good trio of Mickey, Donald, and Goofy.
Yes.
And this was when they were doing, like, trio stuff for a while. They didn't last very long, but they did a few different, like, shorts where they would get that trio together. Very kind of Three Stooges, because it would always be them, like, in a different job. And
right.
But this was fun. Lonesome Ghost. I was always annoyed by the ghosts, and I remember why. I couldn't fucking understand them.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't understand a word they were saying. And, like, now I hear it fine, but I could see why people would not. Understand.
Yeah, I get it.
It's that real distorted, like, we're talking through a coffee can, see? Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And add to that weird, stupid accent that everybody's like, yeah, I want it.
Yeah.
And then we end with the best one of all. Like, they did save the best for last. I think it's called Trick or Treat.
Yeah, I love this so much.
Donald and the nephews and their cute little costumes. We got a little ghost.
So adorable.
We got a little ghost, a little witch. I love that the guy wasn't afraid to dress like a witch because
he's so cool.
Like, it's no big
Boys
deal.
Can be witches.
And then what was the other kid? Ghost. We just watched it.
I did just watch it.
Ghost witch. Wah.
I've actually watched it multiple times in the last few days. There's ghost, devil, witch.
Nice. There we go.
I literally posted a shorter version of this on Facebook a couple of days ago because I love this cartoon so much.
In fact, let's do a little commentary track for that.
Yeah.
Is that available on Disney Plus?
I don't know. I just found it on YouTube.
They call Mickey and Donald and Goofy. They go to this haunted house. They knock them down. We already did that. Yes. And once again, the nephews just want to trick or treat like normal, and Donald wants to be selfish and keep the candy for himself. And treats them like crap. Pours water on them. And this witch, a real witch, is bearing witness the whole time, and she can't take that sitting down, so she's like, here, come practice the black arts with me real quick, and we'll get back at your uncle.
She's and, amazing.
Like, double, toil and trouble, cauldron, boil and whatever, cauldron, bubble. Eye of potato or whatever, neck of bottle, tail of goat, neck of bottle, tail of coat. Like, these were such clever, like, very, because coats have tails. Whiskers from the billy goat. I love the rhyming.
So cute.
And she eventually, like, bewitches Donald's feet and makes him, like, bash down the door containing all the candy and everything.
Yeah.
And she flies away into the night and says goodnight to everybody. And we get this awesome song, you know, trick or treat, trick or treat. Trick or treat for Halloween. And really good harmony going on. Like,
so
look
nice.
It up. It's really good. We might do a commentary track for it. We'll think about it. And then that's basically how it wraps up. Because they end that cartoon. I love the pumpkin going, boo!
Yeah, so cute.
And then they do. And then they just basically do the opening of the whole thing again.
Yeah, you get to hear the theme song again, which is nice.
Disney's Halloween Treat. And they end with it. And with the dancing skeletons.
Yeah, so fun.
I mean, you can't really rate. I mean, it's a 5, like, right? I mean, we can't really rate this.
Yeah, you can't really rate
it. But on nostalgia level, like, it's a 10, you know?
10 out of 10, man.
I hope you enjoy, like, going down memory lane with us. If you recognize it, let us know. Like, maybe check out our Facebook page, because we have one.
We do, and we're about to start posting polls, y'all.
Dude, yeah. In fact, we probably just had one. We might just be wrapping one up by the time this one, by the time this premieres. But yeah, I hope it turns out well. We pitted up two movies against each other. And so if you aren't already, be sure to get on our Facebook page or follow us on Instagram
at Disney Channel Surfers
or individually. Because we tend to post things in regards to this podcast. Me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at Casey Schwartz.
And you can email us
at DisneyChannelSurfers@gmail.com.
Let us know any comments, questions, or ideas for future episodes. We've got a great list of like different movies that we're going to be pitting up against each other for you guys to vote on. Yeah. And be keeping an ear out for that. We've got our 1-year anniversary coming up.
Crazy.
Hope you all have a great Halloween and stay safe. Do we have any recommendations? No? That's all right.
No,
cut
I
this
don't.
Part out. So anyway, we will see you next week. Stay safe, everybody.
Bye, guys.
And bye-bye.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat. Trick or treat for Halloween.